Hey, hey, it's your girl KV.
And Celine.
And we are back with another episode of the Hood Health Report. Today we have a guest. We have Dr. Fred of Red Chiro. We have a chiropractor here today just to kind of talk about just the practice of chiropractics and, you know, a lot of people don't really know about it. A lot of people just think, oh, after you get into a car accident, you know, you should go to a chiropractor to get an adjustment. That's how I see a lot of people think about it. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, we're going to start with this or that. So we're going to ask you a couple of questions. You'll answer, and we'll give our answers as well. Celine, you can start us off.
Okay, so HBCU or PWI? And then tell us
which
where
one
you attended and all that.
Can I say both?
Yeah, sure.
You can say both.
Because technically I'm both.
Okay.
All right. Freshman year, went to Jackson State.
Okay.
Was down there for about two and a half semesters. Then I ended up leaving. Cost, out of state tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make no doggone sense. But ended up going to UT Chat, ended up graduating there. So, hey, that's why I said both.
Okay.
The next one is coffee or tea?
You're
how do you like to start?
You're not gonna give yours?
Oh, duh. Hold up. Erase that. I was so used because we just did it yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just did it. Okay. I pick HBCU. I went to Spelman. You know, team HBCU all day. So, yeah.
I went to Memphis. I will say HBCU because I really wish I could have went to HBCU, but I went there. I was on scholarship, so yeah, Memphis, go Tigers, go.
I guess I would have to say both.
Yeah,
too then, huh? I went to University of Memphis for grad school, so both.
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said both.
Both, yeah.
If I go back, I'm gonna probably go to HBCU.
Mm.
And oh, you going to the next one?
So the next one, how do you start your mornings? Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Neither?
Neither.
Just got your water like you got here today?
I love drinking water in the morning.
Mm.
That's actually really good for you. I'm trying to like incorporate that in the new year, like my first drink when I wake up, drinking the water, so.
Mm. The only reason why is because I don't like coffee. I don't like the way it tastes. Mm-hmm. I don't like, it kind of reminds me of chocolate. Mm.
Chocolate. You don't like chocolate?
I don't like chocolate.
Okay.
So then, teas, I just never got into it.
So juice, really, any, you just like water?
Straight water.
I drink.
With no lemon, no, you don't need nothing extra, just
some
water.
Extra. I just drink water, I'm serious.
You don't even need the filter because you're in Memphis, you can just do tap.
Man, look, y'all don't understand. Living in Mississippi and Georgia, Lord have mercy. You cherish what you got.
That
Atlanta water hard
cloudy
on your body.
Oh, I know.
Cloudy.
Every time I go down there, I wash my face. It just
you
mess
dry,
up.
You be out. Yeah, your
they
skin
do something
feeling
to your hair, too.
Yeah, it's just bad.
We do got to be appreciative of our good old Memphis water here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the people might not know this, but you mentioned it right before we started filming today. You said you're going to be entering into a bodybuilding contest. So when you're working out, do you like to bulk or trim more? Which one is more fun for you?
Does it honestly really matter? Because I just like working out.
Okay.
So, I mean, bulking, that means I get to eat more.
Mm-hmm.
But with me eating more, I get to the point I hate eating. Mm. Everybody doesn't realize it, because when you bulking, yeah, you can
eat.
You gotta eat. You gotta constantly eat. And then after a while, you be getting to the point, you be sitting there like, why am I eating?
Yeah.
And I'm full.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but I have to eat to mm-hmm. keep going. But shredding is more of the aspect of that is, I'm going to sleep hungry. I ate and I'm still hungry.
True.
And I'm just hungry all day long. But my body look good though. Your body look good though. I'm not gonna lie on it.
I'm working on that.
But you hungry all day when you shred.
All day. I'm gonna get better.
Right.
I've been working on trimming down, slimming down. I go to bed hungry a lot, but then sometimes I get up in the morning and I eat a lot. Just because, well, not a lot, but I eat like a full meal to kind of last me, especially on days like this where I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we might be tied up till 1:30 and I ain't gonna eat at 12 o'clock like I usually can. So, yeah.
I would say I'm kind of bad. Like, even if I was, I'm constantly usually trying to bulk. I just have a problem with actually going through with it because my days just vary so much. Like, I'll miss breakfast. If I miss breakfast, now the decision-making with the lunch and dinner, so it's like the snacking in between. But what I will say is, even if I was trying to shred, I'm a late-night eater, so I wake up at, like, 11, 12, and I'm in the kitchen somewhere doing something I shouldn't be doing. And you shouldn't, but I just can't. I just got to get out of that. So I would definitely say bulking for me would be the way I would like to go, but it's just more so... It's discipline. I don't think I'm that disciplined yet. What were you about to say?
No, I'm good. I'm done with that.
Okay.
And the last one, preventative care or alignment adjusting? Which do you say, you know, to the people?
Preventative care.
Preventative care. And why is that?
Preventative care, one, saves you a hell of a lot more money. Mm-hmm. A lot more money than you think. Reason why I say that is because a lot of times we don't even realize as people, like, and I'm just gonna say us in the African American, honestly, us, we don't really think about us. We're so worried about everybody else. Mm-hmm. So we taking care of mama, we taking care of sister, we taking care of daddy, we taking care of our cousins, we taking care of aunties, mm-hmm. grandma, granddaddy, everything like that. That we not even caring about what we doing. So if we do something preventative, then that's actually saving us for the next 10 to 15 right there. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, I've told this many, plenty of men all the time, because, hey, God rest my daddy's soul, he died from heart disease. And honestly, he never really knew he had really anything going on until he went to the doctor and it was too late. He had congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, that's why I tell folks, look, go to the doctor. Even though you don't feel like nothing's going on, go to the doctor.
Better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. Everybody would really be thinking about, oh, I'm 30, you know, I feel great. I ain't feel this way when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. That's the last little couple years you got before you hit that 40. When you hit that 40, that's when everything started going because everything started declining every decade. Mm-hmm. So you going between about 5 to 10% of everything in your body starts kind of declining. So if you're not doing anything to try to maintain it, then the same thing you tell us when we was kids, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. So...
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you start your career as a chiropractor? What, you know, led you to go to school for that and all of the things?
How much time we got?
We got plenty of time.
We here. How
we
here.
We
here. All right, so reality is, I thought I was going to be a pharmacist. Hmm. Ooh. I thought I was going to be a pharmacist. I thought I was going to be a legal drug dealer. Then, I got stuck in calculus. Calculus and trigonometry. If you've been in that class before, y'all, that's the devil. I'm gonna be real with you. Mm-hmm. Trigonometry, I ain't understand nothing that man was saying. One, he was Indian, so he was West Indian.
The thing about those calculus, organic chemistry classes, physics.
I had a video on my phone from like when I was in college, and I was just sitting there like this.
You sitting there looking at him like, what
is he saying?
So, dude from West Indies, I ain't know what he was saying. Nothing. I understood nothing he said. So then I dropped the class. Then took the other semester after that.
Still wasn't.
Dude from Africa. I ain't know what he was saying. I said, so I had a West Indian dude first, and then I dropped it, and then went and took the calculus class again. I was sitting there like, I'm at Jackson State, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm at Jackson State taking it, and then this one, I made my decision. I said, okay, y'all, this ain't working. Mm-hmm. I said, so I'm going to change my major. So I changed my major to just chemistry then. So I said, all right. I was already in pre-pharmacy. I'm sorry. So left pre-pharmacy, went to chemistry. Chemistry wasn't bad. Then I got stuck in chemistry 2. Chemistry 2, math wasn't mathing, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
I get it.
The math wasn't mathing. Then I said, okay, finally passed it with a C. Then looked at everything I need for pharmacy school. They said, well, you know, you got a C, more than one C, you know, it make it hard for you to kind of get in. Mm-hmm. I said, all right, if that, I ain't going now. So I was like, all right, let me figure this out. So then I went back to the drawing board. Well, I'm an ex-athlete, ran track, yada, 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 everything.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, let's do PT. did PT.
We have similar stories. I feel like he's talking to me.
I ended up going to PT. Then I started taking a couple classes.
One for you.
Man, it wasn't that. I actually had everything I needed for physical therapy school. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up doing an internship my last year because I had to do an internship mm-hmm. in order for me to graduate. So I did the internship and everything like that. It was about four months in. I get to the end, I graduate, and then the dude's telling me, he's like, I'm gonna write you this recommendation letter. You did great, yada, yada. The whole time he telling me this in my mind, I said, this is the boringest thing I've ever done. And I can't do this for the next 20 to 40 years. Right. I can't do this. Mind you, if my wife said this, I apologize. She is a physical therapist. I apologize, baby. But I could not do
it. Yeah. It's funny that you said all that because this sounds a lot like my journey. I also was a track runner in college. Mm. I thought I was going to be a physical therapist. I had went through the internship. I got there. I remember talking to my mom because my mom was like so disappointed. She's a respiratory therapist. She was like, Celine, this is a great occupation, all this other stuff. But when I was in it, I was like, they filling out papers. It was not connecting for me. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna go back to school, get my master's in public health. I feel like I want to either have more of an opportunity to work with people more on like a front line sense of mm-hmm. it. Also, at one point, I wanted to do nursing, but when I was on scholarship, they kind of like made me decide like, oh, you either are gonna run and have a scholarship or you're gonna be in nursing school. We can't really afford for you to do both. But they always say like student athletes are, mm-hmm. you know, you're an athlete second. That's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. So
I stopped running in college.
Yeah, I didn't want to stop because that was most of the reason why I was there, the scholarship. So, so yeah, I feel you. Mm-hmm. I understand. That makes sense.
It was messed up because mm-hmm. I really loved running track. I mm-hmm. loved it to death.
What'd you do?
I did the 200, 400.
Okay.
So those my two little my.
Yeah, I did 4.8.
Yeah, I ain't do that eight.
I didn't want to do the eight, but I was kind of good at it.
I had a coach in high school. He tried to get me to do that eight. It didn't end well. It didn't end well.
It don't ever end well.
I'm going to say it just like this.
When you get to college, it only gets worse because then at that point, you're really sprinting two laps.
Let me get to this last lap. Mm-mm. Then I'm going to take off. Mm-mm. Everybody took off as soon as the dang on thing went off. It's like, okay, you over here at the starting line, they already on the half side. I'm like, they already passed the curve.
It's a totally different beast in college, so I understand.
I don't know about no running.
Right.
Hey, look, it's the real.
Mm-hmm. It
if you,
is.
If you do it for real. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, my bones popping just the thought of running.
It ain't that bad.
It's not. It gets easier.
But.
I wouldn't go back. I don't run no more.
I can't run like I used to. My body ain't gonna let me do it.
I usually just work out. I'm not running mm-mm. no more.
I think my fastest time I ever ran in the fall was a 48? Yeah, it was like a 48. Yeah, I ran a 48.6. I think my 48.3 or 4, it was somewhere in that boat. That's the fastest I ever got on Rick. After that,
mine was 55.
Yeah.
And then I said,
55 was a job.
Yeah.
I loved it. But that 48,
yeah,
I was puking and everything at the end.
So physical therapy wasn't for you, and then you went back to the drawing board.
So what did that was I actually left the office that day, and I remember specifically what day it was. I left the office that day after I told him I was going to do it, and he said, well, what you going to do? I don't know. Driving. I left the clinic, started driving, saw this little dude, something called Viva La Chiropractic. Mm. I'm thinking, what the heck? I'm going to go ahead and check it out. I just drove up, pulled in, walked in there, and I asked him, I said, oh, so who's the chiropractor? He said, oh, I'm a chiropractor. He said, so you want an adjustment? I said, no, I just want to know what the heck you do. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know what you do. So he said, oh, yeah, so I line people's backs, and this is what I do all day. You know, we just trying to make sure everything's functioning like they need to, nervous system-wise and all this stuff and everything. And I was like, okay, all right, do you mind if I just kind of stay here for about 20, 30 minutes, shadow you for a little second? He said, sure, go ahead. I was like, watch him. Dude had an old dude come in, dude was bent over, he didn't adjust the dude walking back straight, walking out of there without a cane. I was like, okay, that's one dude. Little girl come in, come in here, adjust the HUD. I was like, okay, little girl look more happier than she was when she came in. I was like, I ain't watched them just like 4 or 5 people. I said, okay, this look kind of cool right here. Mm-hmm. He in for the day, talk to him. He said, so what you think of everything? I said, oh, it look cool. You know, I might get into this. He said, all right, so if you decide you want to, you know, just let me know. If you want to come back and see some stuff and everything. I said, all right, cool. Go back home, looked up some stuff on the internet. I said, man, they make the exact same amount of money as a doggone PT. I said, what? Mm-hmm. And then I'm always on the run all day. Oh, yeah, this for me. I can do this. I can't sit still. That's not me. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I did that, called my mom, called my dad, and my mama said, what the hell is a chiropractor?
Right.
I said, well.
Look.
I said, look it up. I said, I looked it up. Sure, it looked fine to me. I said, I can do this. She said, you sure you want to do this? I said, yep. So I ended up, you know, saying I'm going to be a chiropractor. And after that, everybody else was on board then. So the rest is history. Ah. That's why I try to tell you, I ain't got no little savvy story and everything like that. That's literally.
You literally walked in there.
I literally walked into the office. Boom. I've been a chiropractor ever since.
I feel like times have changed. I was talking to my brother about this. Before COVID happened, it was a lot easier for you to just walk into a place and like talk to them and see if you wanted to do something. Because mm-hmm. I had like similar stories when I was trying to get like a job or something. Mm-hmm. I would just bring my resume in there and say, hey, can I do this? I shadow at a PT clinic. I did the same thing. I just went in there. I said, hey, is there anybody that wants to, you know, let me walk around after you? I just need some hours for my class, for my semester. Now I feel like you have to do like a lot of applications online, or you can't really just, you know, say, I want to come in and watch you. They don't necessarily let you do it. So
health risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hate that, because a lot of times you just getting to see it, you know, for yourself, it might encourage you to, you know, go down that path. You wouldn't even knew that that's something you want to do if you hadn't drove by and went in there and talked to that man that day.
I ain't know nothing. Mm-hmm. That was literally just a random.
Yeah.
Go in there. And then after that, my advisor was like, so what do you want to do, Mr. Pete? I said, so I'm going to be a chiropractor. Great. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you all set up. I was like, I looked at him. I said, that was that easy.
How was schooling for that?
For mm-hmm. anybody? You know, how many doctor people you know?
Not many.
Man, it's yeah. hell.
Okay, I have a friend that was going through a program. I think it's called... It's in St. Louis, you might know.
Oh, you're talking about chiropractic?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about at, Logan.
Yeah.
Logan.
But I just, power to y'all.
It's not, and the thing about it is, like I tell everybody, it's not just even medical. Anybody that you know that's getting a doctor, we talking about a doctor in education, doctorate in law, doctorate in health, and health science, any of them. You go through hell.
Yeah.
You go through hell trying to do your dissertation. You go through hell trying to go through these classes. You go through hell at the same time, because life is life, and at the same time while you're going through all this. So the stress that they put you on a doctorate level, like you sitting there thinking like it's hell down here at the undergrad level, it's 10 times worse up here. Mm-hmm. When I was getting mine, my daddy had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure. My granddaddy passed away. Then at the same time, this is going on, I'm broke.
Yeah.
And I can't work.
You can't.
For real, because my classes start at 7, mm-hmm. and I'm coming back home at 6. So if I'm living, my class is 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in class for 2 hours long for each class, and I'm doing this from Monday, sometimes all the way to Saturday, I'm in class, how am I going to work?
Yeah.
So I'm over here taking extra loans out over here. Then I had to go back to my undergrad days, go back trying to start DJing again, find me a doggone place to DJ. Mm-hmm. Then I was making a little extra $200, $300 a weekend. So I said, this extra $200, $300 a weekend, this is good. So this is my spending money. Mm-hmm. But I got my refund check still coming over here for me to live. So mm-hmm. it's like I get my refund check every 4 months. Mm-hmm. So every 4 months, I'm taking a refund check, splitting in half, pay my rent 3 yep. months up, taking the rest of their money, and I'm over here still, that's life and right there, and I'm still dealing with all this stress. For every week, it was a quiz, a test, a quiz, a test, a quiz, mm-hmm. a test, and then you get to the end of the week, it's finals. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I said getting your doctorate is hell.
Yeah. I go back and forth between the thought process. I haven't like committed enough.
It's going to bring the craziness out of you, but it make you better. It brings the craziness out of you, but you are good after, though. You really are.
So next question, common misconceptions about your profession.
I'm gonna paralyze the kids on that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah. I don't want to get an adjustment because what if they do something wrong?
Yeah.
And then they paralyze me.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. I was in a continuing education class 2 months ago. There is a chiropractor that works in the ER. He actually works in the ER. He's somewhere towards Knoxville area. So I was like, okay. He kind of told us, he was just like, look, I've been a chiropractor for, well, 20-some years. He said, and I'm in the ER. And I had to tell the guy that is the surgeon that's in there, I was like, how many times you seen people that had bad car wrecks, got flown out the car and everything like that, and they either paralyzed or not paralyzed and everything like that? He said, like, honestly and truthfully, it really ain't that many of them that get paralyzed. They just really badly injured mm-hmm. after the wrecks. He said, so what makes you think me doing this right here on their neck is going to paralyze them if that ain't even paralyzed them? Mm. He said, you see car wrecks every single day.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you see them every single day from starting from 12 at night all the way to 5 in the morning. You see it every single day. He said, I see it every day. Be a drunk person over here, mm-hmm. person that lost control because they fell asleep. It happens every... And I was like, he got a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, so if you got a chance, so your chances of really dying from a chiropractor are very slim. And the cases that they do have are...
Malpractice?
Yeah.
Okay.
The malpractice cases that they got, like, talking about, oh, this chiropractor killed somebody. Majority of the time, those chiropractors, the red flags...
Are there.
They just was worried about other stuff. They was just trying to be like, oh, I need to hurry up and get them out. That's what they end up messing up. Mm-hmm. And then when that happens right there, what's the first thing? Oh, chiropractors are worse. This is the worst thing in the world. Don't go to them. They'll paralyze you, they kill you. I was like, look, I said, everybody, you have a better chance of dying in a car wreck than me killing you.
Yes, because it was like a thread going around on Twitter one day where they were like, don't let the chiropractor do adjustments on your neck. They can paralyze you.
No,
like,
it's not true.
I've been getting adjustments since, I think the first time I got an adjustment when I was about 12 or 13, I had gotten a car wreck and like I kind of had a crook in my neck for like mm-hmm. a couple of weeks. I was just stuck like this. And my mom's friend was a chiropractor. She had just finished chiropractic school at the time and she had the table and everything, and she put me on the table and did all that stuff and, you know, got my neck back into alignment. And it was frightening, of course, because like you hear your bones pop and you feel it, and then you feel that little hot sensation of the blood returning mm-hmm. back to that place. So I'm like, you know, who's really paralyzing people through adjustments?
I'm pro. Yeah, just because being an athlete, mm-hmm. I used to always go get adjusted, and it does help. Like,
it does.
I always try to tell people, like, sometimes you just gotta go and see for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that might be the best thing that you can do for you.
But you got so many people that's scared of.
True.
And there's black folks, we ain't gonna lie. They will believe a white person before they believe a black person.
That's true.
I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Because I've had, even with me starting my own practice, there is not that many black practices here in Memphis.
I know.
Honestly, there's me and two others. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want to be real about it, there's me and two others.
Yeah.
And one of them I used to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, if it's only just three of us in here and everybody else is white or Indian,
mm-hmm.
what'd they tell you? We don't really know much about what we know.
Yeah.
Because we be thinking like, oh, you know, a pill, you take a pill, you good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pill can't do everything, man. It can't.
And also, a lot of people tend to just do physical therapy, which isn't bad. I'm not knocking it.
Nothing's wrong with physical therapy.
But sometimes seeing a chiropractor is just, if not better for your case, if it depends on what it is that you need done.
I like doing hand-in-hand with both.
Mm-hmm.
I like co-managing mm-hmm. people. Because if you tell me, hey, I'm going to go to physical therapy on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Okay, you going Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I can see you on a Tuesday, or I can see you on a Thursday, whatever, them mm-hmm. days you ain't going, so it ain't really hectic for you.
Mm-hmm.
You do see some benefits.
Added benefits.
You just mm-hmm. see added benefit because you got two practitioners that are coming in there and they're actually helping you get better and back to your goals and what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of folks don't really look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, don't get me started with the whole back and forth with physical therapists against chiropractors. That,
yeah, I'm not trying to pin y'all against each other. I feel like both of y'all have...
But they do.
I know.
They do it, like they honestly do it more in school than you think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a self-taught thing that they try to teach you. So even when it comes to surgeons and everything and MDs, they tell MDs don't never let a chiropractor do anything to you.
Yeah.
And I be sitting there like, why? Mm. And y'all the main ones that's like this.
They need
right.
it.
Right.
But your back all jacked up. Because you ain't doing nothing. You all up in standing up 4 or 5 hours doing a surgery and you over here going like this. Okay. My back hurt. My arms. My fingers. This is that. Like, come on, man.
So like I said, a lot of people just associate going to the chiropractor, you know, after they've been in a car accident or after they've had some type of injury. But do you recommend adjustments on people who may not be suffering from chronic pain?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody
needs an adjustment.
My child is going to be 3 in February. And she's been getting adjusted since she was 3 months old.
That's another question I had on here, because I've seen people like take their babies to the chiropractor and I always be like, what's a baby, you know?
Okay, so this is the thing. You seen a child born before?
This is true.
I did. I've been in a...
And they balled up.
Okay, yeah. All right, so think about something growing for the last 9 months. They balled up like this.
True.
They are balled up and they just kind of squirming themselves all up in there as best as they can. They finally come out. When you actually watching the OB over there pulling them out.
They pull them out, yeah.
They pull them out, but they doing this little twist motion of their head.
Mm-hmm. That's why they have to shape the head sometimes.
They doing all this. They pulling them out. At the same time, think about if I had grabbed your head right now and I was twisting your head like that. Now, wouldn't that cause you a little bit of some discomfort in your neck a little bit? So why would I not? Now, at the same time, what you ain't thinking about is later on. Now, when you got in that car wreck, you said you had a crick in your neck, right? So that's the later part of what happened after you had that trauma. And the way chiropractic works is you have a trauma, and then you have symptoms from that trauma. Same thing when it comes to kids. The trauma is them coming out. Somebody done twisted their neck right there. They got that pain there. The pain's later on. But then you also start dealing with colicky babies. You start dealing with ear infections. All of that come from the top of your neck. So you got all that right there, coming right there because of a misalignment right here in your neck. And then I can just go over there easily, just use my two pinkies right here and just shift it right there, boom. Because babies ain't got no stress. Babies don't do nothing but eat, sleep, and poop. So I can easily maneuver their bones like this. I just tap it like that and it goes right in. Ain't no real pain. They'll probably cry for like maybe 2 seconds, then boom, they done. And they gonna poop.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've never, like, maybe I just never even thought about, like, a baby needing an adjustment. But now that you mention it, it's just, like, certain things that we just haven't been taught and don't know about.
You ain't gonna know about it.
Yeah.
Same. Constipation, all of that. Bedwetting, especially.
Keep this in mind.
So the next one, going right into this, like expecting mothers. So pregnant women, do you see a lot of pregnant women coming to get adjustments?
I got plenty of. I got plenty of. Oh, so the reason why is because there's no different than a person that's a truck driver that has a big belly from a pregnant woman. They're the same person. Because a person that has a big, huge belly in front of them, what they doing? Wilding like a duck. Then over here trying to keep their balance because they balance all of their weight is in the front. So they're trying to constantly doing this. Walking like this all day. Same thing with a woman that's 7 to 9 months pregnant. They're walking like this all day, holding their back, trying to keep their weight up because the baby is all right there. But at the same time, the only difference is you got something that's down there that can actually hit this nerve right here, push on your bladder to make you fall down to your knees. Big person ain't got that problem. But with chiropractors, what I try to do is I try to make sure that I tell them I can't get you out of complete pain, but I can get you in enough pain that is comfortable for you to deal with. Because the main thing that you're trying to do is you're trying to get this baby out. So my goal is to get this baby safe out, make sure you can have an easy delivery, and everything's good on both sides. So with chiropractic, that's what I tell everybody. If you're pregnant, please go to a chiropractor. Now, I ain't gonna say every chiropractor is the best, because some people don't know what the hell they doing. But do your research on the people. Like every other practitioner. Do your research on them. Don't just sit here and go like, oh, that seems like a nice person. That can go to him.
No, yeah.
You got more people out here that worry about money more than he's caring about you now. Yeah,
fact, so. You
got
to fact check it a little bit. So you mentioned a little bit just now about like pricing and stuff. So a lot of people, when they think about chiropractors, that might be some of their concern that he's not probably covered on their insurance or stuff like that. So they are more so likely to say, I'm not sure if that's something I should put my money towards. So for you, how expensive are your services, and are people reluctant? Have you seen people be reluctant to get in service because of the pricing and stuff of that nature?
People have, but then when I tell them the price, they be sitting there looking at me like, what? Mm-hmm. I was like, how much? Okay, just on the general, how much y'all think chiropractic costs?
Like a hundred, in the hundreds, but it depends on like a lot of things, because when I used to get mine done when I was in school, I didn't have to pay for it.
You're right.
But when I saw the other people that come in there, they would be paying upwards of $100.
You think it costs that much, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. $60. Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
That ain't bad. That's what you pay with your copay.
Yeah.
A lot of people copays is ranging between $50 and $60 now.
Yeah.
Easily.
Especially for specialists, that would be a specialist
and
service.
And then, even in my boat, I'm mobile. Mm-hmm. So with me being mobile and everything like that, I'm still charging you $60.
That's not bad at all.
So that's not a bad price. It's really not a bad price. So I'm literally adjusting you from head to toe for $60, and then you can go do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. But you go over here to somebody over here that got a brick and mortar and everything like that, they probably going to overcharge you. Mm-hmm. Because what? Insurance. I don't take insurance. Reason why? That's a whole nother ball game, right? I mean, a whole nother discussion right there, because insurance run the game now, and everybody's, I think they're starting to realize it now.
I like that about your business. I think that's awesome. That's great, because a lot of people, that does keep them away from me. I know for a fact when I was getting adjusted that they did offer the insurance things, mm-hmm. and you could definitely tell how hard it was for certain people to get into the office because of those kind of
insurance.
Yeah, because of that issue.
I have seen people that I know that I need to see at least 2 times a week for about like a good 2 weeks at least. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that's why, and the main reason why? Insurance. So the insurance will cover for about 4 adjustments. Mm. But with those 4 adjustments, I know for a fact I need to see them after that. Mm-hmm. Because they still need a little bit than what they got. Mm-hmm. So if your insurance is telling you, we understand that you're feeling in pain and everything like that. I've actually heard them on the phone say this. We understand you in pain and everything like that, but all we can give you is 4. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't sign up for this back in December when we had open enrollment. So you just automatically said, all we can give you is 4, that's it. Mm-hmm. When in reality, they really need about 8. Mm-hmm. So they sitting there going like, well, I guess I just do them 4. And then after them 4, I'll never hear from them again. Mm-hmm. Then they come back. 2-3 weeks later, I ain't no hurting worse than I was before. They have my hand there because there's only so much I could do. Then they end up getting the back surgery. Back surgery don't work. They never work. They don't never freaking work. But they always say that though. They be like, "Babe, yeah, get the back surgery. Back surgery don't never work." And this coming from me and my wife. And she's inpatient at the hospital. And she mm-hmm. says the same thing. She's like, "Back surgeries never work." Because mm-hmm. as soon as you get that one done, they gotta go back in there and do it again. Mm-hmm. Then they gonna have to get that one done. Then they gotta go back in there and do that one again. You're gonna be pretty much going through a back surgery for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Because they putting the metal here, they put a metal on top of that one, then put another one on that one, then put another one on that one. I know a whole woman's spine that is made of titanium mm-hmm. because she been getting them done almost every single year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some preventative tips that you would give people?
Stretch.
Stretch.
Mm-hmm. Stretch and drink water.
Stretch and drink water. What are some daily stretches? Because some people be like, well, you know, I don't know how to stretch. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
People understand the simple stuff. You could just put your leg out like this and touch your toes. Mm-hmm. That right there. Just stretch your hamstrings out just a little bit will reduce your chances of getting anything close to sciatica. Mm. Easily.
Stretching and drinking water.
Yeah, make sure y'all stretching and drinking water.
It sounds real simple, but the thing is, like,
it is simple. We overcomplicate a lot of things.
People don't think about it because the first thing I always hear is, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Next thing I always say is, all right, did you forget to wash your butt? Did you forget to brush your teeth? Did you forget to eat?
Right.
Did you forget to go to the bathroom?
Right.
Did you forget to take your clothes and get them washed and everything like that? You didn't forget that.
Yeah.
But you're going to forget that you need to stretch, and then you hurting all of a sudden. And you be sitting there like, man, I did something. If you constantly doing the same thing, waking up, go to work, sit in front of a computer about eight, five to 10 hours or whatever, and then you go back to sleep and do the same thing over for the next 5 to 6 days, what you think your body going to do? Mm-hmm. It's going to accommodate. So that means it's going to be stuck in this position right here. Mm-hmm. Then when it hit the weekends, you be sitting there worried about, like, why am I hurting so bad? Because your body's used to you being like this for the last mm-hmm. 5 to 6 days. So when you try to do something extra, like go play basketball, go run, go to the gym or anything like that, and you wondering why you hurting, it's because your body is not used to that. You done broke the pattern. The thing is, I tell people all the time, your brain is the smartest, dumbest organ in your brain. I mean, in your body.
That makes sense.
Because your body is adapting to whatever it does every single day. But that's smart of it. But the dumb part of it is that, okay, it's still thinking that we're going to be in this position right back on Monday, so why change it for Saturday and Sunday? That's stupid. Mm-hmm. So that's why I tell people, get out and do more than just do what you constantly do every single day. If you can go to the gym on a Monday or on a Tuesday, at least go somewhere in the middle of the week so you can break the pattern up. Mm-hmm. And that's what the stretching comes in at. So if you stretch every single day when you wake up, you reduce less pain. You ain't got to worry about that.
I got to get back to stretching every day. I used to be real good about getting up about 6 o'clock and stretching for about 10, 15 minutes.
Which
just
I
making
made.
Sure, you know, stretch, meditate, start the day off good.
And then you feel great all day after mm-hmm. that, didn't you? What happened?
Pregnancy.
I hear you. Put them with you. You can put them right on the floor with you.
Oh, when she got here, yeah, it got easier because she'll come out and do some yoga with me now. She's about to be 3, so she'll do her little yoga pose and everything now. But I'm saying, like, when I was actually pregnant, it was just like, I don't feel like getting up in there going in there and stretch. I might, you know, reach in the bed a little bit, but
mine is different. Before I had a coach, before we used to run, we wouldn't stretch. Like, we would stretch after we ran, but like he always wanted our muscles to be like not as loose. I don't know what the science behind it was about, like, pulling certain things.
So I just got back. Yeah, get your core temperature up more so it makes it easy for you to do the stretching.
Yeah, so we would do like warm-ups and stuff, but we wouldn't stretch before. So I've grown, I guess I got used to the fact of not stretching as often. So even now I tend to just go work out, and then I'll be like, oh, I should have stretched.
Well,
it's a learning thing, though. Like you said, it's something where I'm like, okay, well, I can take that information and be like, okay, let me apply this, because I'm already at the gym. It's not like I can't do it. Or when I'm sitting in front of TV, I'm really just sitting there. Like, you can do a lot of different things.
But sitting there and think about what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. If you don't use it,
you lose it. That's true.
So if you were doing all the running when you was in your teens and your 20s, mm-hmm. what do you think will happen in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s? Mm. You ain't been using it.
Yeah.
So that means your body gonna do, we're used to running. We ain't using it no more. Okay, let's put this energy somewhere else now. Uh-huh. We're gonna put it over here more towards the brain. We're gonna put it more over here towards us using our arms and our shoulders and stuff and everything. We gotta sit up straight anyway.
That's true.
So you can lower down, you can lower down everything. You can lower down the way you're breathing. You can lower down your heart rate. Everything starts slowing up. And then boom, you in a sanitary lifestyle. Then that's when they wanna start telling you, oh, your diabetes. Mm-hmm. Oh, your hypertension over here. Oh, you got this, you might got a little bit of asthma over here. Now you got a hard time breathing. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this. Do you ever, like, when you're dealing with people, do you ever tell them about, like, belly breathing and stuff like that? Do you?
All the time.
Okay, because that was something I didn't do. I did not know that was a thing until I started going to my chiropractor. He was like, we lose it. That's something you lose.
You're born doing it.
Yeah, you are. As a baby, they do it. And then you just kind of stop, or you just don't use it.
It's because of stress. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, our primary breathing comes from here, comes from my belly. Our secondary comes from up here. So y'all ever notice, like, when y'all get sick or anything like that, all of a sudden you start noticing, like, this gets real tight up here because you, like, can barely breathe because you congested and everything like that. That's because you're trying to breathe from here, but you can't get enough air in your body. So all of a sudden you're going to start using these muscles now. So you start seeing your chest. You breathe through your mouth. You can't breathe through your nose because your nose stuffed up. So that's how your secondary, what your secondaries come in at. Now, the problem is that if you're stressing too, that's how you get, AKA, environmental stress. So when you get environmental stress, same thing's going to happen. You go from breathing relaxed down here to all of a sudden you breathing with your secondaries up here. And then you just find yourself going to sleep breathing like this. You find yourself breathing whenever you just doing whatever.
I had to relearn. Like, I literally had to, like, kind of teach myself to redo it. But, yeah, it can get that bad. I was like, oh, wow.
It happens all the time. People don't really be thinking about it. Because, honestly, when you don't breathe from your belly, that's how you lose your core strength. So once you lose your core strength, then that's when you start having back problems. Because, like I said, sedentary lifestyle. I'm sitting down all day. I ain't really got no reason to really breathe, for real. So I'm just going to breathe from here.
So what are some of the benefits of chiropractic, like getting these adjustments?
Tell me what ain't. Because it's pretty much everything. Like, let me just go from the simple stuff. One, movement, feel more flexible, feel great. Two, breathing increases dramatically. High blood pressure lowers it a good little amount. The reason why I say that is because a lot of times when people thinking that, not saying diet don't play a part in it, diet does play a part in you having high blood pressure, but a lot of times if we're constantly like looking down at our phones like this or sitting down in a certain position like this for a couple hours, we have these receptors are right here in our necks. So these receptors right here, they go directly to our heart. If this receptor right here is constantly having to go all the time because our necks are always in this position right here, that means we're putting extra stress right here. So automatically it's shooting down our heart right here and telling us, hey, you know, keep going a little bit faster, keep going a little faster. Because I've adjusted people and put the, what do you call it, the oxymonitor?
EKG?
No, not the EKG.
No. Heart rate?
O2. Yeah, the heart rate, O2 monitor. Like, I've even looked at folks on their watches and stuff and everything and watched it actually dramatically go down as soon as I adjust their necks. And they'd be like, I feel good. I was like, okay, you feel great. I said, your pressure's going down too. It's like, I never knew that my neck could affect it. A lot of people don't. That just comes from knowing the anatomy of what's in the body.
So I know you do chiropractic work, but what other services do you offer?
Graston work, which is soft tissue work. Usually I use it on people that have had any type of scar tissue or anything like that in certain areas. Women I know that have had C-sections from babies, automatically I do that right there, and they'll actually loosen up that little area right there. So it makes it easier for them when they're like breathing or trying to bend over or anything like that. It actually reduces a lot of pain. Anybody that's had surgeries like knee surgeries, ankle surgeries, or anything like that, carpal tunnel surgeries, the Graston does wonders. And also do dry needling. Dry needling is always getting mistaken for acupuncture. It's not acupuncture. I ain't trying to disrespect nobody. I just be telling folks, I don't understand that whole chi thing. They be like, you know, this channel's blocked, so we gotta undo this and stick it in there. And then I be like, dry needling, to sum it up, is basically like, I'm looking for a balloon and I'm trying to pop it. So pretty much when people have like trigger points and little knots in their backs and stuff and everything like that, I'm trying to find that knot right there, take the needle right there, go real gently with it, and then it just automatically does this little jolt. That jolt right there is what automatically releases that muscle. So it's kind of like it's balled up like this, and then I put the needle in there and it like oozes out and it just relaxes the muscle. But at the same time, it's reducing that pain and it's making it easy for that person to move like they need to. Mm-hmm. And then I do ultrasound, which is pretty, it's not the ultrasound for imaging. This is the ultrasound that helps with swelling and pain and everything like that. You know, man, I got a lot of stuff. I'm just not sitting here thinking about it.
Do you cupping too?
I do that sometimes. I don't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Just wondering.
The only reason why is because I'm not going to say that it's time consuming, but now recently, whatever I did some research that with some other stuff with it, I'll do the cupping and have people do movements with the cups on. Mm-hmm. So it actually helps with the movement. Mm. So.
Want to ask another one? Okay. So, I usually ask this to people that come in. Do you have a motto that you live by when it comes to health, or is there like a certain something that you like usually tell people? Your motto?
My motto, I treat everybody like they're my family.
That's a good motto to have.
I treat every patient like they're my family. I treat them like they're my sister. I treat them like they're my mama, like my grandmama, and like my wife.
That's good. That's a lot of people, I would say.
But it's hard. It's so hard.
I feel like it's needed though, because a lot of time, a lot of patient care, it goes out the window. Like they don't necessarily think about you as a family member. They think about you as a dollar bill or like, you know,
a
nuisance or something like, you know, like, nah, I got another person today.
The reason why people are like that is because the way healthcare is set up here in America is draining. Mm-hmm. And if you ain't doing anything outward-wise to try to get yourself mind frame-wise, you be sitting there going like, all right, like, Monday coming up. A lot of people go like this on Sunday. They be like, dang.
Yeah, gotta go back tomorrow.
Monday coming up. I gotta get ready to go back. Oh, man. Monday for me, I be getting up. I be like, all right, wake my child up. Get ready for getting dressed. All right, baby, come on, let go. We rolling out. This is my first. They looking at me saying, you good? I said, yeah, I'm good. I said, you ready? Get on the table. Let's do what we do. They be like, you were real energetic on a Monday. One, I'm a morning person. I've always been a morning person. Thanks to Jackson State for that. They dug on 5 in the morning, getting you up for training.
Yes,
was ridiculous.
You get used to it.
He didn't understand it. I said, Jesus, 5 in the morning. I got class at 8. Why are we up? But... yeah, so ever since then, I just been a morning person. And plus, my daddy was a morning person, too. Like, that man got up, like, he got up when the sun got up, and he went to sleep when the sun went down. Mm-hmm. But he worked all day long. So it's just kind of like, you kind of see that with your parents, and it just kind of just goes with your nostalgia. So, yeah, that's really, really about it, though. I just try to treat everybody, mainly because, and honestly, the only reason why I say that is because there was a moment when my grandma, she had brain cancer. And we found out she had brain cancer. And then I had to take her to her appointment. So I want to say this was probably like the first one she was supposed to go to. She couldn't drive. She couldn't do anything. Basically, I had to take her. I got her in the car. We got to the clinic. Them folks basically treated her like she
wasn't there.
Like she wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it pissed me off so bad, I was to the point, I was like literally finna run back there and put on the machine myself. And they, first thing they wanted to sit there and go like, we can't do anything because the insurance. When I heard the word insurance, I about lost my mind.
That's so true, though.
I was like, how y'all gonna sit here? Y'all see the woman dying, but y'all gonna run off this insurance stuff. Mm-hmm. And they be like, well, we can't do that. I said, the hell with insurance. Insurance can burn in hell for all I give a damn right now. Because the way that they treat folks now with insurance is just ridiculous. Honestly and truthfully, if you go to Italy, France, anything like that, how much you think teachers getting paid?
A lot more.
They are close to six figures
over
there.
That's what I'm saying, a lot more.
They are way closer to six figures over in France and Italy.
In my opinion.
How much you think doctors getting paid?
Equal?
Nope.
Less?
About 40 to 50,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say equal or less.
40 to 50,000, and the only reason why is because healthcare is free over there. They have universal free healthcare over there. So with them having universal free healthcare over there in those countries right there, you see what their health, what their health is over there. Where their morbidity rates are way better than here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Even we can even talk about birth rates. Mm-hmm. Birth rates. Y'all know we about damn near last in the whole entire United States. Like, us just trying to bring a kid in, we damn near killing them.
Mm-hmm. We are killing
them. Yeah, it's true.
I'm just saying, we mm-hmm. are, because the way that they're bringing kids into the world now, and me and my wife, we knew this when we were getting pregnant, when we got pregnant and everything like that, we had already said, we said, okay, look, we're going to try to get as far away from a C-section as possible. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to make sure that the hospital we choose, C-section rate is low.
Yeah.
At the same time, we're going to sit here and make sure we got what we need to know to make sure, do we want to get an epidural? Do we not want to get an epidural? Mm-hmm. We didn't want to put the baby under any type of distress or anything like that. So when you sitting there thinking about that, and then I end up talking to one of my partners, and I said, bro, what are they teaching y'all in medical school? He said, bro, if you want to be real with it, they actually teaching us how to do C-sections right out of the gate. They ain't teaching us how to do natural births.
I would say, I've watched something on that. They actually, like, teach them. That's the reason why when you go into the hospital, they say you're not supposed to eat before, you know, you go into labor.
Because they expect to put you through surgery.
That's the reason why. And then when I heard that, I was like, that's so crazy to me. Because you would think they would want you to have, like, a natural birth. But no, they're getting you prepared to possibly have a C-section.
Money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make almost $5,000 easily. Mm-hmm. Just by having that C-section, mm-hmm. then having it natural. Natural, I may get maybe 1,000, maybe 2 or something like that. But guess what? I gotta spread it. I gotta spread it to the nurse. Mm-hmm. I gotta get my cut. The hospital gotta get their cut. And it's like, but if I had the C-section, I got my little easy about a stack or two coming to me. The nurse gonna get theirs. The mm-hmm. hospital gonna get theirs. And then the insurance gonna get theirs.
Right.
But everybody doesn't really think about it. That's why I say everything is ran through insurance, and it drives me crazy here in the United States.
Yeah, I understand.
So,
you brought up another good point. I'm just going to say it really quickly because I was thinking about it when you were talking about it. The fact that overseas, that the price is so much, well, the pay is so much lower, I think it allows for people that actually really want to do that as a mm-hmm. profession. Those people are doing that job. I feel like in America, a lot of people get into professions because they're looking at a number, mm-hmm. not necessarily having a passion about it, not caring about the person that they're seeing.
No bedside manner.
Yeah, why do you think I got into pharmacy?
Passion. That's what I'm saying.
Why do you think I picked pharmacy?
Mm-hmm.
They told me right out the gate. I'm making six figures right out the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was 2005. So that was back in 2005. 2005, you telling me I go to school and literally I come out and I'm making six figures. I'm making more money than my mama and my daddy. And you telling me that's all I gotta do? I just gotta go do I just gotta go be a pharmacist. I'm not knowing, mind you, I don't know nothing about the trigonometry. I don't know nothing about the calculus. Yeah. I know nothing about it. I just know that profession is gonna pay me.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of our generation is at. Like, they're just like, okay, I'm gonna be in healthcare. I'm gonna get paid.
Don't know nothing.
But then they get into it and it's like, oh, this isn't what I really want to do. And they stick it out because they want to get the money from
it.
Yeah. That's honest and truth. I knew my partner. I said, why you want to be an accountant? Bro, they told me I can make $100,000 coming right out. I said, you can make $100,000 coming out? He said, well, maybe not right out, but if I own my own, then I can. So if I had 2 years under me, then I can easily go right out here and start my own little firm. Mm-hmm. So you get done in 4 years, go work for somebody for 2 years, come out there in them 2 years, that third year, you basically in there because you already know the loopholes, you already know everything to get out to get your money and everything like that. And you sitting there thinking to yourself, you like, dang, I ain't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Ain't no passion behind nothing no more, really.
A lot of people are not passionate. I feel like a lot of things do need to change soon if we want to get on any kind of, like, you
good
know.
Look on that. Social media, check it up.
But I think also social media with that, a lot of people just want to be influencers anyway. So I feel like a lot of people don't even want to go to school. They ain't got to go to school. You can just make your little TikToks.
But see, this is the thing, though.
Thinking about social media, you see that people are not passionate because you see the nurses who sit there and rag on their patients and be like, I had a patient today that did this and did that, and You know, it's like you too worried about trying to be an influencer. You showing that you're not passionate and don't care about your job and these people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My brother and me were talking about this yesterday. We were talking about the TikTok teachers or Instagram teachers, like how they be on social media for their students and stuff like that. They're like, they're not teaching them nothing. They just go in there, show them a little TikTok. We about to do this TikTok, y'all, get in the frame. And that's what they be doing.
It's a daycare.
I know. It's so sad.
I got to pick and choose to put my child at right there.
We think about the same thing.
I'm sitting there going like, man, we going private or we moving out here to the good old Collierville or Bartlett area. I ain't gonna lie to you. We gonna try to debate. It is not easy when you got kids, man. You be worried about stuff. You be sitting there like,
a lot of them are babysitting.
Think about that. I'm still been some, man. Kids got you thinking about stuff. You be like, man, I ain't not think 10 years ago I'd be worried about a doggone school system.
Right.
Not worried about where you're moving to.
I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, I'm in a great position. I'm in a great area. Oh, the mortgage rate is down low. I got like a 2% rate. I'm fine.
School's trash,
man. Like, first thing I'm sitting thinking like, man, what school system? Because I know, because the boys that live across from me, they teenagers. So I'm asking them, like, what school they at? Oh, we at Germantown. Dang. I was like, okay. I was like, man, I graduated from Germantown, but Germantown ain't what Germantown was no more. Like, I said, man, y'all ain't even got even close to what y'all had when I was there. It's like, now it's just like, it's a hot mess over there.
Yep.
So then you start talking like, folks down, like go a little bit down, further down the street. But then, the numbers went up. And I'm sitting there looking like, man, how much this house cost? Oh, it's $500,000. I was like,
we are ready for a little crash or something.
I'm sitting there like, what body part I gotta sell to get it?
Right.
I was like, how much it cost for a kidney? It's like, I can live with one, right? Yeah. But yeah, so overall my things, like I did every day, I tell people, treat everybody like they your family. You can treat them like your ignorant cousin that's over here that pisses you off because they owe you money.
Yeah.
But at the same time, still be loving with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you treat them like your mama, you gonna do everything you can in your power. I have two patients that have passed away, but I treat them just like they would my mama, and I tried to save them for everything, and we was doing great, but there was just some things out of my hand that ended up passing. But they husbands will tell you straight up, they say, that man did everything in his power to make sure my wife was good before she passed. And I was like, I did my job. So.
Clap it up for that. Was that all the questions?
That was all our questions.
We would like to thank you for coming out and speaking with us today. Like I said, this is important, you know, information that we need to get out to the community. Like I said, a lot of people just think about car accident, go to the chiropractor.
Mm-hmm. No.
But it's so much more involved than that. And, you know, we want the people to know that. Yeah. So we definitely appreciate you coming out.
Oh, before we wrap everything up, talk to the people, give them your socials, let them know all that stuff so they can know how to find you.
All right. So, my name is Dr. Fred P. Jr. You can reach me at Red Cairo LLC. That's on all platforms. It's Facebook, Instagram. You can also get me on my website at redcairo.com. The way you spell it, just like it is on the shirt right here, redcairo.com. And then you can go on there, book easily. I put it out there. It's user friendly, y'all. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
So this is a wrap for this episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it. You can follow us on Instagram, which is Hood Health Report, as well as Facebook and Twitter, Hood Health Pod.
We also have a TikTok page now, Hood Health Report. Follow us there.
Yeah.
Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. All of the links will be in the descriptions and the bios for you to click on.
Tap, like, comment, do it all.
Subscribe. All of the things. Share it with a friend.
Yes.
Share it on your social media.
If you have a TikTok, make a little video, send it.
Let us know you're out there watching, guys. All right, that's it for this episode. Bye.